You're listening to Practical Living right here on your practical station, Adventist World Radio. I'm your host for today, Dumisani Mfune. We have lots of goodies on today's program. You don't want to miss any of it. We have a life-changing testimony from someone who has been living with HIV/AIDS for the past 14 years.
I can say it's only through the powers and the Most High who guide me actually through these things. He took me out of this and he put me into a new road. Just look at me. I'm almost 48 and I can say to myself, I can see myself for another 20 years living it. But the thing is this, it's only I have to be faithful and trustful to the Almighty and put my strength in Him and He will carry me along the way.
We'll hear some of the changes that He made to His life and how He's been able to find hope to cope. We'll also listen to a powerful sermon from Pastor AJ that tells us how we can get to know the I Am.
I've been a Seventh-day Adventist all my life. I grew up knowing all the stories of the Bible and knowing that the doctrines of the church are very important to us as Seventh-day Adventists. But the thing was, I never knew Christ personally. I never knew that Christ wants to be my personal Savior. I missed that part of the Christian life. I missed it completely. How are you feeling today?
There's also a chance for you to get a very interesting book on parenting. All that and more in today's program. Coming up next is Dr. Mfune, and he gives us tips and advice that will allow us to raise better, well-disciplined, well-behaved children in today's society, but beyond that, getting them ready for the new Jerusalem to come.
In 1992, I was teaching in the theology department at Swallows University in Zimbabwe. We had just returned a few months earlier from the Andrews University Theological Seminary. That was in Michigan in the USA, where we had spent about 7 years. The primary school education syllabus in Zimbabwe required all children to learn the local language. Being Malawians, we speak a different language. Our kids who had left Malawi when they were very young and had acquired fluency in American English were totally confused. Each time they wrote a quiz in this language, they failed. Day after day, we saw them come home disappointed. All we could do was to encourage them, and it finally paid off. One day after a long struggle, Dingani, our second born, got a passing mark. After school, during the lunch hour, the boy came running home to come and show me the grade. Normally, I would have been home eating lunch while listening to the news. But this year, unfortunately, I had several emergencies to attend to at school, so I did not come home for lunch. My lunch was brought to the office. When evening came, I had choir practice, and I only went home after choir practice. At about 10 minutes before 8 in the evening, I began walking back home. My house was about 5 minutes away. The main news bulletin came at 8. And since I had missed the news during my lunch hour, I did not want to miss the evening news. As for my son, however, since he wasn't able to show me his grade at noon, he was more than anxious to show me before going to bed. A perfect environment for the battle of the titans had been created. I walked into the house when the news was just starting on TV. I greeted my family members as a matter of duty, but my mind and eyes were on the TV screen. I went and sat in my chair, took off my shoes, and focused my attention on the screen. As soon as my son saw this, like a bullet fired from a gun barrel, he shot to his bedroom, came back fast as a missile, waving a white piece of paper in his right hand. "Daddy, Daddy!" My son Dingaan called, his face beaming with excitement. "Today, I passed the language quiz." His face full of satisfaction, he stretched out his hand, trying to hand over his quiz paper to me. I flashed a glance at him, smiled, and thanked him for his hard work. Without even receiving the paper, I turned my face back to the TV screen. But the boy was not going to be ignored that easily. Like a chameleon, he slowly walked and stood between me and the TV. My first reaction was to become angry. But when I looked up and saw his face, I knew things were not right. "Daddy," my son said, his face revealing concentration of the disappointment levels in his blood. He stretched his paper towards me and asked, "I have worked very hard to get this 70%. And Daddy, you don't even seem to be interested in my efforts." There was an awkward silence. I looked around, and apart from my son's eyes, there were four other eyes watching me. "Is the TV more important to you than the efforts I'm putting in my school?" my son asked. I saw tears welling up in his eyes. This hit me like a hydrogen bomb. I took the remote control and turned off the TV. I received his paper and did my best to repair the damage I had done. "Parents, make haste to destroy the altars which you have built in honor of your interests and at the expense of your children." Read more about these important issues in my book, Parenting for Heaven.
That was Dr. Mfune giving us more tips on how we can raise good children. You know, it is very true that in today's society, there is so much that fights for our attention. And sometimes it's easy to neglect our children. But let's make sure that we always dedicate time for them. If you want to get a copy of the book that Dr. Mfune has written, write into the station. Later on in the program, I'll give you the email and the postal address that you can use to request a copy of that book and any more that Dr. Mfune has written on parenting. Coming up next, we continue the testimony from Johannes Williams. Remember that Johannes Williams has been living with HIV/AIDS for the past 14 years, and he made some critical decisions and changes in his lifestyle, and those changes have given him hope to cope. So up next is Johannes Williams. Now, Johannes, how did you find out that you were HIV positive?
That was a few years in, say, 1998. I had a boil under my arm, and I went to the clinic, and they said to me, "Just wait a little bit more till it gets ready." And as it gets yellow under my arm, I open it with a needle, and I take a milk bottle, I put hot water in it, and I start to draw it myself. As I was taking the bottle and hold it against my arm, I was squeezing the bottle, and since the blood and the thing come out, it was dark. My blood was a little bit dark, and it worries me. And I said to myself, from there on, I must get tested.
So, which means that you already knew about HIV and the fact that your blood, the color was slightly different, made you a little suspicious.
Yes, that was actually the thing who makes me worried. And I said to myself, from there on, I must get a test. And so I get tested, and I turn my life around.
Now, when you say you turned your life around, what do you mean? Like, was there anything in your past that, you know, you think you might have, that might have put you at risk to get HIV?
No, it was actually the thing, what I mean actually by turning my life around. I have to get more closer to the Almighty Father, even to guide me along this way, where I am in today. And as we goes on and on, I said to myself, no man, I better get myself ready to belong to a support group and get a little bit more information what is about HIV and AIDS. But as the time goes, I found out that it is, like I said before, it's not a death sentence. You can live longer, but you just have to look after yourself and use your medication, as I said.
Now, Johannes, how did your community react when they found out you were HIV positive?
But the first thing, actually, when I was HIV positive, I went to my wife, as I said, and the community actually didn't knew about it. I actually only goes to, it was one day when we opened our workshop, there was a lady invited me also to do a 5 minutes of that from my same time, and I said okay, and she do an interview with me, and she put it in a newspaper, they call it the Aldeburgh Post. And so after a day or two, my community also see it, and then they only realize that I'm HIV positive, and then they give me also a lot of encouragement. Mm. It was Dinah Adams, she was the leader of the community, and she was also the one who gave me a lot of support at the time.
Johannes, this means that you had it for some time, and the community did not know, right?
Yes.
So, when you're HIV positive, nothing changes, isn't it?
No.
Like, just by looking, someone, can people tell that this person is HIV positive? People can't tell just by looking.
No.
So, nothing changes, really?
Yeah, if you are HIV positive, it's actually a lack of, how could I say it now, it's, you lose a little bit weight as the time goes. But to get yourself ready and to prepare yourself for the states you're in, you have to get your CD4 count ready. Mm-hmm. So when your CD4 count is about, say, above 400 or 300 above, then it gives you a sign that you can say, okay, my CD4 count is high. That's going to be like, there's a few years more that I can go on with. So that is the mostly important thing that I can say about it.
You've known about it since 1998.
Yeah.
And I look at you, you look like a healthy person. And yet people have told me that, you know, once you're HIV positive, you become very sick. I look at you and you've had it for almost 14 years. So it means that that's not true.
But the reason is actually, as I said before, you have to look after yourself to get yourself, your body in shape. You have to eat the right amount of food every day. Mm-hmm. So you don't get like, I'm going to skip tablets today and then I'm going to drink it after 2 days again. That is the thing that's going to make you sick. If you want a healthy life, you have to live life healthy. And a healthy person get what? You get a stronger body at the end of the day. And I just want to encourage other people, just look at me. Well, I'm almost 14 years in the game, and what do I get? I'm living a good life.
This means that if you did not get tested, you wouldn't have known, and perhaps you wouldn't be alive today, right?
Actually, that is true, yeah. Because I'm taking with my wife, and it hurts me to see her getting a little bit lighter and she getting thinner by the day. I have to see that she uses her tablets every day, and she was about the stubborn lady I can ever met in my life, but she was the cutest thing to me. And as the time goes, I tell her, listen, yeah, we have to take your medication at that time and at that time.
If you didn't know the Lord, how do you think your life would be right now? Do you think you would be as healthy as you are today?
No, I don't think so, because I can say it's only through the powers and the Most High who guide me actually through these things. He took me out of this and he put me into a new road. Just look at me. I'm almost 48 and I can say to myself, I can see myself for another 20 years living it. But the thing is this, it's only I have to be faithful and trustful to the Almighty and put my strength in Him, and He will carry me along the way. That is my belief.
You mentioned that also taking your tablets every day. Is that very important?
Yeah, actually it is, because medication comes first. You have to eat in the morning and use your medication. Okay. Now, if it goes like 2 days, 3 days without them, then your body is going to pick up some new viruses. You can get a cold, anything like that can break you down. Your immune system can go down again, and that I don't want that actually. So I have to use my tablets in the morning and in the afternoon. That is the thing actually.
And then what about things like exercise? You know, are you?
I'm not a person who exercises a lot, but I can tell you I like walking. I can walk far distance actually.
Okay.
And every morning, it took me about, say, to work from, to go from our house actually to our workshop where we are in Somerset West. It took me less than an hour, where I used to go maybe with a train or taxi, goes about less than 20 minutes. But I refuse that, and I'd rather take a walk than I know by myself. It keeps me fit every day.
We're almost out of time, but what would be your closing remarks to anyone who might be HIV positive, or even those who don't know?
It's good to have hope. I will say, get yourself a friend and then talk a little bit and see what he's up to, and then you can come out and tell him a little bit of yourself. And as the time goes, you will see that you're getting over it. As you're getting over it, I just get to say, you have to get hope from somebody, and there is a place, like I can say, support groups are there. Support is good, because it gives you encouragement to go on with your life even. But I just want to say, it's only the strength and the hope of the Almighty. Please, if you are HIV positive, please, there is clinics allowed you to get tested if you want to. But for yourself, please get tested and see what your status are. And from there, you can take it further on.
So remember, guys, having HIV is not a death sentence. There is hope to cope. And God, the Almighty, will give you that strength. Johannes, thank you for your time.
Thank you. Pleasure, my brother.
Wow. That was Johannes Williams sharing his story. But above that, telling us how he found hope to cope. You know, HIV/AIDS is one of those grim realities of life. But it does exist. It's real. It is killing people. We don't have to live like the ignorant, because we do have information available. I have a lot of pamphlets that I want to give to you that will tell you more about this disease. If you want to get that pamphlet, please, why don't you write into the station, request for it, and we'll make sure that you get a copy of it. I'll give the address that you can use to request your copy of these HIV pamphlets later on in the program. For those of you that have just joined us, you're listening to Adventist World Radio. Now, coming up next is Pastor AJ. Pastor AJ will be telling us how we can know the I Am. Remember that conversation Moses had with God when God wanted Moses to go and rescue the Israelites? Moses asked, "Who should I say, has sent me?" And he said, "Tell them I am who I am." So, AJ is going to tell us how we can get to know the I Am.
Now that we have come to Christ and believed in Him, in following Him, we need to get to know Him better so that we can live a life that will reflect the light of life to all of those around us. I've been a Seventh-day Adventist all my life. I grew up knowing all the stories of the Bible and knowing that the doctrines of the church are very important to us as Seventh-day Adventists. But the thing was, I never knew Christ personally. I never knew that Christ wants to be my personal Savior. I missed that part of the Christian life. I missed it completely. How are you feeling today? Are you at the stage that you don't know Christ as being your personal Savior? Are you just going through the emotions of being a Christian this morning or today? You might not even know who Jesus Christ is. You might not even have Him as your personal friend or Savior. Are you, after deciding to come to Christ and follow Him, now wondering what to do next? I have thought of this so much in my life. Salvation does not come through the knowledge of biblical doctrines and rules, but it is found in the sacrificial act of Jesus Christ. Christ's saving act grants us the knowledge of life. This is exactly what we see here in John 10. John has led us to realize the steps to getting to know Christ. Firstly, believe, and by believing, we'll do all of the others. We first need to believe in Him by coming to Him of ourselves, and secondly, to follow Him. Now John is revealing to us a step deeper of believing. He's telling us how we should get to know Christ. During the culture at the time the book was written, the shepherds, when he takes his sheep out to graze and to eat, he will bring them back to the fold at the end of the day. It would usually be not only one shepherd, but a few shepherds working together. This would allow them to disperse the workload. At the end of the day, they would bring the sheep back to the fold, but the problem was that the fold did not have a gate, but only an opening, so that the shepherd would have to stay there with the sheep. He would sleep in the gap of the fold, so he would literally become the gate. If the sheep wanted to leave the fold, they had to get through the shepherd, so thus he was their door. Because he was near the sheep, he also protected them. Now the amazing thing is that John 10 verse 9 depicts this illustration for us very well, in that Jesus, who is the great I Am of the Old Testament, is the door through which his flock come in and out. This word here is translated as come in and go out. They are once again in the form of you have to do this act of yourself. There is no mention of a specific camp which is mentioned, but what is mentioned is that one needs to enter through Christ. If you jump over the fence, you're a thief and a liar. But if you enter through Christ, you are saved and will find pasture. The only way we can do so is by believing in Christ. And by this, if we believe in Him, we do know Him. You will find your full in this life if you do that. The word in the Greek for enter is used in such a way that it is seen as a possibility. John writes in such a way that even if there is only one person that enters, that person will be saved. If you are the only one in this world that will enter, you will be saved. Christ came to give His life for you. He came to be the one that can give you protection and food in this world. All you need to do is enter through Him. Don't jump over the fence, but go through Christ. Going through Christ means accepting that He will provide all your needs according to His riches in glory. It's acceptance of His capabilities to provide for all your needs, whether it is spiritual, mental, physical, relational, you name it, He can again provide for it. You need to enter through Him by accepting His abilities in your life. We can understand His abilities by studying the Word of God and hearing others' testimonies on how He has changed them. So I encourage you to study His Word and you will understand Him better. I encourage you to listen to other people's testimonies, to talk to Christians and see how God has changed their lives. Now this is part one of knowing the I Am. And the next session, we will expand this out a bit more to understand how to know Him even better. So join us next time for more information on knowing the I Am.
For those of you that have just joined us, that was Pastor AJ telling us how we can know the I Am. And in as much as he encouraged us to listen to testimonies, I'd encourage you to share your testimonies. Write into us, tell us your testimony, and we'll make sure that everyone else hears it. Our mailing address is Adventist World Radio, P.O. Box 22, Somerset West, South Africa. Postal code is 7129. I repeat that. That's Adventist World Radio, P.O. Box 22, Somerset West, 7129, South Africa. Our email is awr@sidmedia.org. That's awr@sidmedia.org. We would love to hear from you, but also strengthen your brothers and sisters that listen to this station. I've been your host for the day, Dumisani Mfune. And remember that here on Practical Living, we give you practical tips and practical advice that will keep you healthy, wealthy, and wise. Until next time, God bless you.